As you return to your seat, we are going to pick up this morning in our studies in 1 Corinthians. So this morning, turn in your Bible, if you have one with you, to chapter 3. You can look on with someone else. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I begin with a story. I read this in the ABC News. It's a 2013 article, but a story about Brooke Greenberg, who baffled scientists because she never physically aged. Maybe you saw her story on the news or someone like her. There aren't too many people like her. She was the daughter of Howard and Melanie Greenberg from Restortown, Maryland, and was one of about a dozen children in the world with the same disease syndrome. They call it the Syndrome X, a kind of Benjamin Button disorder that prevents them from aging. Well, because of her condition, Brooke remained physically and mentally like an infant all her life. She was pushed around in a stroller into her adult years until her death. In 2009, when her family was interviewed on ABC's 2020, she weighed only 16 pounds, was 30 inches tall, still had baby teeth, but was 16 years of age. Her condition baffled doctors, and in a strange way, during her first 6 years, Brooke went through a series of critical medical emergencies that she recovered from, and sometimes without explanation. For instance, at the age of 4, she fell into a lethargy that caused her to sleep for 14 days. Doctors then diagnosed her with a brain tumor. Mom and dad got a casket. They were preparing for her death. Suddenly they got a call. She had opened her eyes. She was fine. They ended up determining she didn't have a tumor at all. But an unexplainable physical condition that when she died in 2013 at the age of 20, she never developed beyond the physical size of an infant or the mental capacity of a 2-year-old. They call it Syndrome X. Syndrome X. And by the way, if you know what the word syndrome, a syndrome is a group of symptoms that collectively indicate or characterize a disease, a psychological disorder, or another abnormal condition, a syndrome. Syndrome because generally when babies are born, it isn't too long and they begin to grow and mature, and they're not babies for long. For the normal human process, you know, it kicks in, the human growth process, even in parts of the world today where there's very little, maybe nutrition, maybe a lack of training, yet babies grow beyond babies. And eventually, in one degree or another, they do become, in a human sense, they become adults. Today we pick up in this letter, 1 Corinthians, you might have been with us. We've noted how Paul pens this letter. He's burdened for this church that he planted. It's only a few years later. And he's burdened because of what he hears is going on in the church. So he writes with these concerns. But what we're going to find now in chapter 3 is he also is baffled. You know, Syndrome X baffles doctors. How could this little baby Brooke grow to 20 and not grow beyond an infant? What caused it? Hard for them even to discern and understand in the studies that they've done of it. Paul, writing to this church in Corinth, in a similar way, is baffled, definitely burdened, because by the time he writes this, a number of years, he was there 18 months in Corinth, teaching and instructing, and now several years later, normally, usually, believers would have spiritually developed to a certain point beyond the stage of maturity that these Corinthian believers are in. They are in an arrested state. They're like spiritual babies. And you could say they have spiritual baby syndrome. That's what they have. Spiritual baby syndrome. Unlike, though, Brooke Greenberg, they can do something about their tragic condition. They can do something about it. They can grow up. And so Paul writes now to stir them up, to grow up. How about in this building today, maybe even listening in, winter Sunday, people listening in on the radio. Anybody connected with us right now that are, you know, you have spiritual baby syndrome. You should be well along in your faith by now. You've been a Christian for quite some time. But because of choices you've made or choices you're currently making, you're still a spiritual infant and you need to start growing up. So if that be you today, listen in, because Paul has some things to say about it. We'll discuss it. I would like to say a word of prayer with you, and we'll pick up in chapter 3.
Father, I thank you for this opportunity to once more open our Bibles and to learn together this second service. And I do know people are listening in too on the radio stations. And I just ask God for your mercy, your help, your blessing upon this time, that you would keep us attentive to you. We would hear your voice. We would hear your instruction. Not only would we hear it, but we wouldn't be guilty of forgetting it when we leave. But we would remember and we would apply it. And I pray we would grow, Lord. Oh, Lord, stir us up to grow. May your Holy Spirit be upon all of us, even myself, as we go through these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, chapter 3, 1 Corinthians, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Clearly, you can hear Paul's burden as he writes this letter to this group of believers. Burden because they're not growing up, as you can hear there. Like any parent, that their kids are not maturing and growing up, Paul here sounds to me like he's frustrated. He's put in the effort, but they haven't. He wishes they could move on to bigger and greater things, but they have not been willing. So with everything, the Corinthians are sort of stuck. They're stuck spiritually, and they keep having to redo and redo and redo rather than progressing on ahead. My title simply for the study this morning is The Great Need to Start Growing Up. The Great Need. That's the situation at the Church of Corinth when Paul writes this in the mid, 50s, 60s, 80s. And maybe that's also the situation with some of us, maybe here today, maybe listening in. There's a great need to grow up. First thing I want to note here with you in these verses, these four verses, is to point out what Paul does here. He gives us a clear indicator that you are not growing spiritually when this is true. There's a clear indicator. You want to know, am I growing spiritually or not? He gives us one clear indicator. Now in the Bible, there are others that we could discuss, New Testament, that you could use to measure your life, to see if you're spiritually growing. There's others, but he gives us one particular one here that is pretty crucial. And it definitely helps us to discern, and that is with the Corinthians. What's this clear indicator? When all you can receive is spiritual baby talk, that's a clear indicator you're not growing in Christ. When all you can receive is spiritual baby talk. Paul, writing, the way the NIV, the New International Version, renders it, he says it this way, verse 1. Brothers, I could not address you spiritually, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I can only talk to you like babies in the Lord. Just imagine if I was up here today, I came up, and I started to talk to you in baby talk. That would be pretty weird, no doubt about it. I'm not even going to attempt to do it. But just imagine if I started to do it. Or, after the service in the fellowship hall, I'm speaking, maybe some mom with her infant, and you hear me speaking to her infant, and I'm, doing the baby talk that we do. We talk differently to babies. But then you go walking by, and I turn around, and I start talking to you the same way I was just talking to that baby. You would be offended. You would. You might even get angry. And maybe you'd walk out the door of this building and never come back, going, that dude is weird, man. He's just weird. He's goo-goo, gaga. I'm like an adult. What is he doing? What is he doing? Hey, a clear indicator spiritually that you're not growing is when all you can receive is spiritual baby talk. And that's what's going on, as Paul describes, with this church in Corinth. Just baffling to them when they can't handle more. It's just the baby stuff that they can handle. Baffling even for any Christian that's been a Christian for a while, when you're content with just spiritual milk or spiritual junk food and you're content with that. You go through the door of this church or maybe another church, and you simply want to be stirred up emotionally. You want, just positive encouraging. That's what you want. Comfort me. Encourage me. Give me some simple instructions for my life. Make me feel better. That's all you want. But you tune out if expository teaching, going through the passages of the Bible. In fact, if you were honest, there are many passages of the Bible that just bore you and you're not even interested. Now that is true. Spiritual baby, that's what Paul would say. How about us, any of us today? If you've been a Christian for a while, there's something very wrong. When you lack desire to receive more spiritually mature teaching, there's something wrong. For you should by now be growing and maturing. But instead, you're just a spiritual babe. Imagine if we could put on glasses, spiritual glasses. And we could look around in our sanctuary here at one another. And in our glasses, we could look and we could see how we look spiritually. How mature we are. Imagine we're all looking around and then we look at you. And when we look at you, it's like we see Brooke. You've been a believer. You might have been in this church a long time. And yet you appear like a little baby. Just a little baby. Definitely there is something wrong. And the thing is God sees your arrested state. And he also has strong things to say about it too. Remember what Jesus said to the church of Laodicea. And depending on how you see the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, some see church history in those seven letters, and the last letter is the church of Laodicea, and some see in it a word to the church at the end. Maybe the church today. Listen to what Jesus says. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And then Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. He says what, you know, to this church that's just lukewarm. And if it's representative, and I think it is, also of the last day church at time, where the church at large, lukewarm. In a prideful way, thinking all is fine. We're good. We know the Bible. We got so many commentaries and Christian songs. And, you know, we got it all dialed in. And God's like, put on the spiritual glasses. I wish you would, because you are absolutely naked. You're miserable and poor. I want to fix your vision and correct your eyesight so that you can see the real situation. It's a really horrible situation. And the way God looks, the God who sent his son Jesus to save the world, when he looks upon his church and he sees a half-hearted church, he's like, I want to vomit you out of my mouth. I love you so passionately, I give everything to me, and that's the way you respond to me. Great need to start growing up. We have a clear indicator that there's something wrong with us spiritually when all we can receive is the junk food spiritually or the baby talk. Now, as you consider further in what Paul says in these four verses, there's a big problem here with what he says is carnal, remaining carnal. The big problem in remaining carnal. Another way to use the word carnal or translate it as the NIV is worldly, fleshly, worldly. The big problem when you are Christian and you've been going along in the Lord, yet you're still no different than your neighbor. You've known the Lord for a long time, and the co-workers, no one would differentiate you from anyone else. Just like everyone else. And that's being carnal, and that is there's a big problem here. Now, some people would argue that you can't use those terms together, Christian and carnal. Some would say that when he's speaking of carnal, somebody would argue they're not even Christians. But look what he says, brethren. He calls them brethren. They are clearly, this church is believers. Some could say, you know, would say a Christian is not carnal, they're not fleshly anymore. And it's true in a practical, you know, positional way, as we studied in Romans. When I put my trust in Jesus at that very moment, simply because of the grace of God and what he's done through his son, I was forgiven of my sin, I was sanctified, set apart, made holy. You know, I'm now one of his. I stand in the very righteousness of Christ. When God looks upon me, he sees the righteousness of his son, the perfection of his son. I given the Holy Spirit the moment I put my trust in Jesus, part of this royal priesthood, a literal heir of God, that is all true. My name is written in the heavenlies. But yet it is also true in a very practical way that people can live disconnected to what they are spiritually. That 20-year-old woman, her body wasn't connected with what she was in age at all. At least it didn't appear that way. Now, Paul, as you see here in these verses, he gives us three categories of people. Or he has up to these verses, including these verses. The first, you might remember back in chapter 2, verse 14, he spoke about the natural man. And we studied this last week. The natural man does not have the capacity to discern the word of God, the things of God. God is spiritual. God is invisible. The Spirit reveals God to me and His Word. The natural man does not have the capacity to do that. If you're here and listening or listening in, and this is all just whatever to you, confusing, it might be that you're just natural. You're just a human, and you need to be born of the Spirit. The Spirit is our teacher, we studied last week. Then He gave us the second category. You have the first category, the natural man. Then you have the spiritual man. The spiritual man is what Jesus would say is born again. You're born again of the Spirit. Put your trust in Christ and what God has done with His Son on the cross. You become born again, and when you're born again, the Spirit is alive in you. You're now made alive. And you're able then, you have the capacity to discern the Word and way of God, the wisdom of God. Well, now we have this third category of people. It's the carnal believer. That person, I believe, is born again, has the capacity to know the things of God. And yet they're characterized as somebody who's living like the natural, this person who's living after the flesh. Carnal, fleshly, worldly appetites. Alan Redpath put it this way. The carnal Christian is a child of God, born again and on his way to heaven, but he's traveling third class. Like the Israelites, wandering in the wilderness, famine, barren, struggling. God had called him to the promised land. Lack of faith, wandering in the dry, barren place. And it was faith that eventually to get to the promised land, the abundant life Jesus has promised for you and I. Well, with this in mind, as we look at these verses, what category are you in? Or you would say, well, maybe I'm just a natural man. I don't get the Bible. I don't get the things of God. God doesn't, you don't hear His voice. You're the natural man. Are you a spiritual person, woman? You know the Lord, and the love of God is just so alive in your heart. Or are you this third? You know you came to Christ. You know you've got Christ. But boy, when you look at your life, you're not a whole lot different than you used to be. I can remember being just like that in college in Boston. And I knew Christ. Man, God awakened me when I was a teenager, and I got to know Him. It was amazing. And then I get off into the college world, fall out of church and so forth, and man, I was no different. I dried up as dry as you could be. And I've shared this story. I was not living at all like somebody who should be living and going up and down on this path. And there was even a time I walked into a store with this girlfriend that I should not have had. And as I walked in, there were Christians that were doing some sort of evangelistic thing up by the front door. And I remember walking into the store and even had this feeling for a moment. I am so far from what they are. Almost like, am I one of them? I remember that feeling. I had just drifted so far off the path. Yeah, carnal Christian. A rested state, not growing. Now, when Paul uses the term spiritual in chapter 2, verses 13, chapter 2, verse 15. The Greek word, and I'm going to do my best with these words. I usually don't say them very well, but pneumaticus. First part of the word, in Greek, pneuma, the word for spirit. And it has the ending, ikus, pneumaticus. And the ikus means, when you have that at the end of a Greek word, it means it's characterized. The thing is characterized or controlled by that. The spirit, controlled by the spirit. The spiritual, when he uses a word, he's using a word of somebody controlled, has the capacity to be controlled by the spirit. Well, Paul, when he writes, he says, I can't speak to you as pneumatic, as spiritual people controlled by the spirit. He said, I have to, deal with you as sarkinos is the Greek word. Sarkinos, carnal. And sarkinos, the Greek word sark, It's translated in the Bible in places flesh, and more frequently actually as weak. So Paul is saying you're spiritual, you have the capacity, you have the spirit, controlled by the spirit, but I actually have to speak to you as if you're controlled by the flesh, because you are. You're people of the flesh. You're more focused on the physical than the spiritual. You're born again, sure, but you haven't left the natural way of just living by the flesh and discerned and grown in this abundant life of the Spirit. How about you today? How about you? We go through these verses. We read this Bible not just to fill, obviously, our head with knowledge. We're studying so we can grow and know our God and be prepared all the more to meet our God when we do soon. But to just grow and mature in the faith. How about you today? How about you? So Paul then explains the big problem with being carnal is you're still behaving like the world. That's what he describes. The church in Corinth, they're just like the world, just like their neighbors, just like they were before. They've digressed. There's a spiritual arrestment in their development. And so, the first thing he deals with, as we noted, is their discord division. They're so impressed with men. They're so impressed with men, so there's this discord, struggling, with envy, strife, that sort of thing. And of course, when you're, carnal, there's many other things that can be going on. Just the flesh, the world, and that's what's going on. They're so impressed with men. Remember last week we reminded ourselves how foolish it is to be impressed with men. Even teachers, that when we go to church and walk out the door of the church, what should be happening is that we should be blown away with our God. We should be in marvel of who Christ is and His love and His power. We've come together as His people. We've met with Him. He's ministered to us. He's poured the Spirit of His, the water of His Spirit upon us and just refreshed us. We go out in wonder and in love with God. You leave churches impressed with men. Or in the church, we're impressed with people. That's just, carnal. Carnal. I'm sure, you can relate that. As a believer, you maybe have these experiences. I talk to God. I pray, and I know at times He talks to me. It blows me away, man. But I talk to Him. I spend time with Him. But sometimes life is not easy. It's hard. And I'm like, gosh, this has been so hard, this one thing, for so long. And it seems such a spiritual battle. And I get to thinking about who I'm talking to. God, You're everlasting. That's what the Bible says. He's from everlasting. I can't even comprehend that. God, you've always existed. I can go back 53 years. You can go back 100, 1,000, 10,000. You've just always been. You're just a wonder. And not only that, before everything, and then You made everything. And Your capacity, You're infinite and omnipresent. We look from the Hubble telescope back at the earth. The earth is a little piece of dirt, and then we're these little specks on it. You're this infinite being I'm talking to. And I got this situation down here that's a big deal to me. And You're so far beyond it. And sometimes I'm like, Lord, I don't understand. Why can't You just move that out of the way? Why can't You just work at this thing? It's who You are. Oh, yes, You have a good purpose in it. Because You're infinite. And I have to be in wonder of Him. So impressed with Him. Man. Just nothing. We're just little specks on a speck on a speck. Come on, really. Right? Nothing. And we're so impressed with a man. That's just an indicator of we're behaving like the world. We're thinking like the world. We know here when there's discord, division, as he describes it, they're carnal, so there's envy, strife, and division. When that is going on in the church, that's an indicator of spiritual immaturity. Kids like to, children. They like to disagree and fuss. Kids like to, have their little factions identified with their superheroes and their, their movie stars, That's just kids. I'm even older. I can remember being in college, and there were men that I knew, friends in college. And some of them, they thought like they just had the perfect taste of music. And if you didn't like their taste of music, you were just a knucklehead. I remember some of the young men in college like, we know what music is. And it's these three bands. And if you don't like them, you're just inferior, just so you know. It was just, it's just so carnal, foolish. And to be that way. Kids, that's what they're like in Corinth. Babies fighting over Paul is the greatest. No, I'm of a Paulist, man. That dude rocked when he preached. Peter, no, not Peter. Come on. You remember what Jesus said? What? They sound just like kids on the playground. My dad is bigger than yours. My dad is stronger than yours. My dad is better than your dad. You know, the same sort of thing. It's what they sound like. But the mature believer isn't like that. The mature believer loves. The mature Christian gives preference to the other. There's humility. And, you know, I even honor you above myself. That's the mature believer. You know, when you take carnal believers and then you start putting carnal, immature believers into ministry, you know, where they're serving and they haven't grown, oh my goodness, talk about a real difficult place to hang out in that ministry. I always say, and I do believe it, one of the great attributes, I think a good indicator of spiritual maturity is humility. And so when you are, you know, we want somebody to lead a ministry and serve in ministry, oh, humility is so key. Humility is so key. If there's a lack of humility, I put the brakes on. Start working with that person, and then you start showing lack. We slow right down. Because as soon as you take somebody who lacks humility, you bring them into this little peaceful ministry that you got going on, it will not be peaceful for long. There'll be disagreements. You wait. There will be. There'll be opinions. There'll be disappointments. There'll be hurt feelings. That's what happens. It gets hard. But when there's humility, you could just move and roll with each other. And okay, I was hoping, well, okay, humility. Jesus certainly demonstrated that to us. Well, carnality, the problem with carnality is we behave like the world. And as we've been noting, it's what he says exactly in verse 4. And my heading on my New King James Bible, it says, Secretarianism is carnal. And one of the things about behaving like the world is that secretarian division. And I couldn't think of any better way to say it. But the partisanship, you know, where I'm of this group and you're of that group and our group is better than you. I'm a Patriots fan. You're a Giants fan. You can't even go to heaven. You know, that sort of thing. I like the Red Sox. I remember seeing a bumper sticker. This car does not break for a Yankees fan. You know, that sort of thing. A Christian's driving it, you know. So just that's just carnality. It's just carnality. That's the flesh. You know, I read this story years ago. Maybe you remember it, but it's a story of a Florida sheriff who, as was the case in other prisons, would take a troublesome prisoner, put them for some time on a diet of only bread and water to break them and change their attitude. However, the sheriff noticed that the young toughs in the prison he was in charge of actually would glory and boast in being put on bread and water because it proved how tough they were. Like, look it, man. We're just like, they got us on bread and water. We're like, we're the real deal, you know. Well, he saw these prisoners bragging about bread and water, so the treatment that was supposed to humble them, so he came up with a solution. You know what he did? He substituted the bread and water with baby food. And he found that about only one day is what it would take, putting a prisoner on baby food. They thought they had an attitude, but man, their behavior changed. It really was humbling. And they ate the baby food because they were hungry, but they didn't brag going, look, I got Gerber, you know, peas. They weren't bragging over that stuff, man. How about you? What's your diet like? What's your diet? With the church in Corinth, just milk, spiritual junk food, you know, they would probably want. But milk, they could just, the baby food is all they can handle. Does the writer of Hebrews say the same thing to you and I, what he says in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3? Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permits. Notice what he says. Let's leave the discussion of these elementary, simple things. And he lists what they are. Repentance over the old things, moving on, you know, the teaching on, you know, the doctrine of baptism, laying out of hands, resurrecting. You know, these things are elementary. Let's move on to the deeper things. Would God say the same? This is what Paul is saying to this church. I wanted to go further. You weren't willing. I was putting in the effort, but you weren't. Now, milk and meat, you know, the difference, he says, I gave you milk, but you couldn't take more. You know, so we have milk and meat in the Bible, the meat of the word, the milk of the word, we refer to that. And what does the milk represent? obviously, it's the simpler things. That's the point of using the word. Although I remember reading Warren Wiersbe, and based on what the writer Hebrews suggests, he believes that the milk is the teaching of Jesus, what he did. You know, that all the things we know about what he did while he was here. You know, the Gospels. That's the milk. And the writer of Hebrews wants to take you to this deeper place. How Jesus is superior in all that he is now, even in the heavenlies, and will be in the future. And Wiersbe would argue that this elementary is like the Gospels, these sort of things, and knowing him and walking, but the future and what Christ is, and what he is even now is the deeper. The point is, though, the Bible, the Word, is a meal. There's the milk of the Word, 1 Peter chapter 2. The bread, Matthew 4:4, the meat, Hebrews 5:11-14. The psalmist says, your word is honey to me. Just as the physical man needs to have a diet to continue to be healthy, so the spiritual man, the internet man, I need a good diet spiritually. The baby begins with milk, he grows, she grows, they develop, and then eventually solid food is what they need. I was watching a little video a man showed me. I was up in Maine in September, Calvary Chapel, Bangor, and there's a man up there that has a place for pastors. It's a beautiful place in Castine, so they had invited my wife and I to stay there. So we're there, but we know the McDonald's, so we were spending some time. And, you know, he's a pilot of a ship, and, you know, the ships that come into the Chesapeake Bay, and, you know, educated. Starter in college football, and he's a manly man. If you go up to Calvary Bangor, Ken Graves is a manly man, you know. Ken Graves likes steak. He's the pastor of the church, and everybody knows him. You know what I'm talking about. The dude is just a manly dude. Well, so are the other men. And well, tip this man we were with. He's into steak. He's got a barbecue when you stay there in the little place we're in. He's grilling steaks. All he likes steak. Anyway, one day he showed my wife and I, he was so proud of it, it was his grandson. Here's his little video that, you know, his daughter or son had taken, I forget. But I guess his daughter, but this little grandson, I mean, he looked like he was barely big enough to sit up in a high chair. I mean, just like beyond weeks old. But he was chewing steak. This little dude, he was so little. He was chewing, and Tip was so proud. He's like, look at my grandson. You know what I mean? He's just like eating steak, man. Now we're talking. You're like, that dude doesn't seem like he's big enough to be eating steak, man. But that was the point. It was quite a thing to see. And I guess now when you have a baby, an infant, you know, they used to say wait till steak later. You go from milk to the other foods and then maybe steak. Now they tell you after, you can start earlier with that. And I'll leave that up to you parents to figure out. We're well past that stage. But the Word of God, we need a good diet. We need the milk, and we need to then grow, and we need to get into the meat. And it's not difficult to determine the spiritual maturity of a believer by what they're eating spiritually. And I just want it just encouraging. I just look at a little devotional here on Pinterest or whatever. That's good for me, you know, and you float along. And this is all just fine for me. Just a little bit here, a little bit there. And that's all. I want to feel good, and it's got to be nice. And well, that's just indication you're a spiritual baby, spiritually mature. When somebody is reading and studying the Bible at home and growing in the Word of God and reading, you know, books and so forth, and just growing and just the knowledge of God and hungry for God and His Word, His presence, well, then you know there's somebody growing in the Lord. Now, here's the danger of not growing in your faith. It doesn't state here directly, but the whole imagery of a spiritual baby, a baby is vulnerable. A baby is weak. So that the danger of not growing in your faith and just coming to the state of where you're arrested and still just staying there, you remain spiritually weak and vulnerable. That's the danger. And if you just like spiritual junk food, you just like the milk and that's it, you then go along your little journey in life. Temptation comes, you often don't fare well. The enemy comes, oppression, battle, you don't do well. You're just a little baby, weak, vulnerable. You're also not a very effective witness. You don't bear much spiritual fruit. There's not a whole lot spiritually to account for your life. The writer of Hebrews then writes it this way. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 to 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is because, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The milk, you're unskilled in righteousness. You get to the meat now, you can discern good and evil. You're strong. You're a spiritual baby. Spiritual baby, if you're not growing. I read about a man who was into exotic fish, spoke about to another man how the most popular aquarium fish is a shark, obviously. But he explained, if you catch a small shark and you confine it, it will stay in proportion to the size of the aquarium. A shark can be in a little aquarium and only grow to 6 inches and be fully mature. But this person explained that if you take that little shark when it was young and put it in the ocean, it could grow up to 8 feet. But it's the environment it's in contains it and affects its growth. I guess that's true of some lizards too, right? I'm not, I don't know these things very well. But isn't it true? There's some Christians that are this cute little 6-inch Christian. But the problem with that, a little 6-inch shark is easy prey out in the ocean, man. It might be a shark, but he's a good meal for a lot of fish. But you get to be 8 feet, I'll do well out there. You're not growing spiritually. You're easy prey to Satan. He can come along and discourage you. He can dull your heart. He can do all kinds of things. But you're just a spiritual baby. False teachers and the satanic work there. Little kids, you can. I used to remember when my kids were little. I'd get in trouble for this once in a while, but I would, I'd just tell them, hey, for instance, don't go in the basement. There's a shark down there. And my kids will tell you, I'd tell them that, and they were afraid. They'd look down. There's a shark in our basement. Why I would do that, why dads do that, I have no idea. But I would do that. Tell them, I have these scars on my knuckles. I had surgery, I tell them, shark, alligator, I got in a fight. And they're like, wow, my dad's amazing, man. I don't know why you do that. It's lying, it is, but dads do that, I don't know. But that's, you can do that with little, but they would believe anything. One time I remember we were watching an election, our kids were so little, and one of my kids said, Dad, why don't you run for president? Well, it's pretty obvious why, but they were thinking I should. I was amazed. But little kids, easy to deceive. You're spiritually a baby. You're spiritually not growing. You're false teachers, false doctrines. The last hour age, we're told, Jesus said the deception will be so great. If God didn't intervene, even the elect would be deceived. You're vulnerable to deception. Whatever the thing of the hour that's being spun. You're easy prey to the world to just be devoured. Distracted, pulled into all sorts of things. There is a great need to grow up. Are you in a miserable place as a believer, like the prodigal son? God will do that. For somebody who's just backslidden or just living like the world, God will start to stir up the pot. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I am just grieving on the inside, miserable. I'm so unhappy. Maybe it's the Lord going, listen. There's a path here for you. Would you take it and follow me and seek me and watch what I will do? God's stirring you up. We see that examples in eagles with eagles. You take the huge eagle's nest, on the top of a tree, on the edge of a cliff. A mother eagle will build her nest. When she does, she starts with thorns, broken branches, sharp rocks, a number of other items that are entirely unsuitable for the project. But then she lines the nest with the thick padding of wool, feathers, and fur from animals she has killed, making it soft and comfortable for the eggs. By the time the growing birds reach flying age, the comfort of the nest and luxury of the free meals make them quite reluctant to leave. That's when the mother eagle begins to stir up the nest. When her strong talons, she uses them, she begins to pull up the thick carpet of fur and feathers, bringing the sharp rocks and branches to the surface. As more of the bedding gets plucked up, the nest becomes more uncomfortable for the young eagles. Eventually, this and other urgings prompt the growing eagles to leave, because they should. Their once comfortable abode is now not, and they can mature and grow to be what they are. And God will do that in our life. As a parent will do that, trying to keep prodding to grow your kids to become the mature people that God had ordained. But maybe you're here, God's stirring it up, stirring it up. So you just get on the right track. Now, spiritually mature, carnal, what are we to do? Well, it's time to get serious about the things of God. That's the answer. It's time to get serious about the things of God. Shirley Condren once wrote, "You're never too old to grow up." You might be in this church, have been here for a long time. You might be a Christian that goes way back in another church. And it's never too late to grow up. But what do? Get serious about the things of God. And one of the ways you do that is you cut back on the worldly things and you start doing more of the spiritual things. You feed more on the healthy things. I say over and over and over here again, it's like a broken record, but I wonder, sometimes I feel like I speak to some people that their foreheads are like rocks. You can say it 1,000 times and it just doesn't get there. I don't know. Or it gets in their ears, but it doesn't make it to their heart. If you're in a spiritual arrested state and you're not experiencing the abundant life, it isn't that difficult. For starters, do this. When you go home tomorrow, in the morning, pick up your Bible and sit and read it and talk to God. And on Tuesday and on Wednesday, intimacy with the Almighty. Begin to seek His face. Read through this Bible. Read through it from cover to cover. Use our church app. Do the Bible reading. When you do it again. Because it's feeding on the Word of God. It feeds your soul. It's a meal. You will grow as you do it. You will grow. I can't believe how many times I say that. And yet I honestly fear how many people don't do it, and I don't know what to do about it. I do believe if we can get people reading their Bibles at home regularly and praying, 99% of it happens right there. It does. Soul of transformation, you alone with your God. You got this book, Holy Spirit, and you begin to read and pray, journal, and God will meet with you, and you will grow. Hey, do that. Tune into Renew FM more than your music station, the news, the sports station. Do that. We have Renew FM all on our house all the time. Just do it. Cut back on the social media, the TV, the movies. Find a good godly book to read. I love reading the stories, the autobiographies and biographies of the great saints of the past. Wow, is that rich. Yeah, some of these things, it's true, they're not easy. But just because they're not easy, I mean, they're good. They're necessary. You got to do this to grow. In the last day's newsletter, Leonard Ravenhill tells about a group of tourists visiting a picturesque village who walked by an old man sitting beside a fence. In a rather patronizing way, one tourist asked, "Were any great men born in this village?" The old man replied, "Nope, only babies." And that's a profound ask. That's the way it works. Great men are born great men. They grow and develop, and there's all sorts of factors and fires that make them into what they are. Hey, it's not easy, but it is good. Stop being lazy. Stop being spiritually lazy. Wake up. Come to church. You might be listening on the radio and you're like, "This is cool with me." Hey, you listen on the radio, it's fine. Come to church. Come to church regularly. It's a thing in the church age today, the Western age we're in today. It's across the board with many churches. You know, I've even heard some speak of it. 20 years ago, just measure 20 years, you know, half your church was there on Sunday morning. 20 years later, it's like a quarter. You know, it's people aren't regular anymore. Inconsistent. Spiritually lazy. Incredibly distracted. and then therefore spiritual babies. Stop doing that. Attend church weekly. I remember in California, as a pastor being trained, we would do the counseling, the intern pastors at a very large church of thousands. Our pastor, Mike McIntosh, would tell us, you got people that you're going to sit down and do counseling, they're coming in, they have these issues. Do this, if you would, do this at the beginning. Ask them, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you in church? Ask them regardless of what the issue is. Because that's like the fuel, the gas, the transmission fluid, and the water. You need all those for the car to run. Ask them, and if they're not doing those three things, it was suggested to us, go tell them, would you go do those three things? Do that for a couple weeks, and then call me if you want to talk again. And what would happen is they start doing those three things, and whatever the issue was, it would go away. Because they were doing the basic things, feeding upon the Lord and growing in Christ. How about you today? Did God see you this week? See, hear you seeking His face? Were you with Him and spending time with Him? Were you more distracted with social media? Some other silly thing in the world? Well, you're a spiritual baby. When are you going to grow up? When are you going to grow up? I don't speak down to you. I appeal to you as Paul is appealing to this church in Corinth. I realize, man, we got so many things to distract us. Stop being lazy. Attend church regularly. Be a giver more than a receiver. Start giving. Start serving. Serve God's people. Serve in the church. Take your checkbook. Prove to God He's number one in your life. Start giving and serving. Truly, you'll grow. If you're not, you're still, you're like the Dead Sea. It's just coming in. It ain't going out. Serve in the church. Tithe, whatever that means. It's your personal thing. I don't know who gives in this church. Get involved in church ministry. Spiritual growth is not automatic. It is not easy. It requires a discipline and perseverance, but it is what we are to be. God could be saying to you and me, we're still in just the milk. How long, spiritual baby? Come on. I could use you. I need you. Time to grow up. Share your faith. I do believe, I remember reading a book years ago, this one author, I think he had a point that if you don't share your faith, his argument was he believed Christians would plateau. They would come to a place of spiritual arrest. They would not grow anymore unless they began to share their faith. And I'll leave it with your opinion, but I think he's got a point. You go out and begin to share your faith, you will grow. There's something about it. It takes faith. Pray for one. We keep talking about pray for one this year. We stole that, that little way of saying it from another church. But pray for one, Start, you say, God, would you lead me to somebody I can share your love with? God, would you lead me somewhere I can share your love with? Just start praying that every day. You will find that God will. Suddenly you're given a radio card at the store. Suddenly you're having a conversation at work. You just started to, God, here I am. Help, give me somebody to share your love with today. Go on a mission trip. I tell you what, mission trips are pretty life transforming. Back to animals and the way animals can be. I'm at the end, I'm sorry. But this is my last illustration. So the African impala can jump up to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. Quite an animal, beautiful. Yet this magnificent creature can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. 3-foot wall, the animal can jump 10 feet high. But if it can't see what's on the other side, it doesn't go there. And that is an illustration of the Christian. Yeah, you can't see having your Bible reading and prayer what it will do yet. Yeah, some of these things we've mentioned, you can't necessarily see it right now. But don't let that stop you. Do it. And you will find that you will grow. Maybe we're here listening, we have spiritual impalas that could really go far and high. But they're just distracted. They're only looking at the physical and they're being held back.